Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Vernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
You know, it's so good to be in the house of God. It's so good to be with the people of God once again. I am so thankful. I mean, I just bless God. I can't even find the words to bless Him and to thank Him enough. I sometimes think that I have the absolute greatest job in the world. I know that nobody deserves the blessings that God has given me. I am blessed beyond measure, and I mean that seriously. God has given me the most wonderful woman that I have for a wife, the sweetest woman any man could ever ask for. And when my wife and I were married, we couldn't have children, but God changed that, opened the womb. We have three wonderful sons who are all in the ministry, all preach the gospel. In 30-some years, I have never had a need. God has blessed me continually. I mean, obviously, I could be, you know, a lot richer and a lot younger and a lot better looking. But other than that, God has taken care of everything. And literally, I get to just minister the Word of God. I get to just go before the people with the Word and the power of God. Now, who can ask for anything better than that? And when we're outdoors doing a crusade or we're in a big church or whatever, you know, I can minister the Word. And then as the people come up for prayer, I can see the power of God. I can see the people get healed. And I can see the blind suddenly receive their sight. And those who were deaf suddenly be able to hear. And we don't have a doctor that travels with us to verify these things. And I want to bring this out publicly in front. So I don't know. Now, we did a crusade a while back in the White Mountains of Arizona. And there was a woman there who said she had been blind since early childhood. We prayed for her. The only thing I can attest to is I did see she was legally blind, but she could see movement. She could see shades and movement in front of her. And she had a pair of glasses on that were about this thick. And as I prayed for her, those glasses just busted up. I mean, they made a horrible sound as that glass just broke. I don't know how many pieces. And she started screaming, and she said she could see. She could see perfectly. Now, I didn't have a doctor there to verify that or anything, but you know, there was another man there that said that his hearing was totally gone, and we prayed for him, and he said it was totally restored. And I share this in that way because there are some people out there today who will tell you they have, you know, God has just done thousands of miracles for them, and they can't prove any of them. And I just want to share with you up front, we don't pay a doctor to travel with us and, you know, sign affidavits and that. So all I can do is take the word of the people and the pastor of that church. But anyway, my point is how beautiful it is to work for God and to be able to see the power of God come down. But the greatest miracle of all, the one I love to see the most, and the one that hopefully you love to see the most, is the invisible miracle. That miracle of salvation. And I love to see it when they come in, when they are the town drunk or the young druggies, you know, and they're not hard to spot. You know, they've got the pin sticking through their lip. And in fact, just about every place in their body, they got a pin or an earring or something stuck through it, you know. Their whole face is full of pins. Now they stick them in their forehead. Ooh, that must hurt. But to see them come up and get on their knees and cry before God and weep before the Lord and begin to confess their sins before God, that is the most beautiful miracle of all. Very, very hard for me to understand how some of you out there today, in fact, a lot of you out there today in television land, a lot of you, you know that you have been called. You know that God has called you to go preach the gospel, and you're not doing it. Well, you're hurting yourself tremendously, but you just don't know what you're missing. Working for God is the greatest thing there is. I love working for God. And I would preach 24 hours a day if God would let me. I mean, if I could get crowds to come in 24 hours a day, if I could get one person to come in 24 hours a day, I'd preach. Because to share the word and the wisdom of God, there's nothing greater. The past couple days, we've been speaking about the harvest field and God sending the people out to the harvest field. And we've been ministering out of John 4. And I pray that tonight I'll be able to finish that up, because I really have gotten off of it here the last couple nights. But I hope to be able to finish it tonight. And I want to start, if you would, and you who've got your Gospels, go to the Gospel of John in chapter 4. And if you would, let me see. We talked about the woman at the well and Jesus talking to her. So I'm going to go all by past all of that. And I want to begin at verse 46. John chapter 4 and verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. It wasn't grape juice. Welch's didn't have a factory there. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him. And he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for his son was at the point of death. And then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, else my child will die. And Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. I want you to hear the next verse. Pay attention to the next verse, because I will tell you why his son lived. This is powerful. Jesus said, go thy way, that son liveth. And the man believed the word. Oh, but that we could have thousands of men of God like him in the church today. He believed the word of God. And he went on his way. He heard. Well, let me read the whole verse. It's so beautiful. It's so powerful when you read it all. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him. He heard and he believed. Too many people in the church today do not have an ear to hear. And even some of those who do have an ear to hear won't believe. Oh, I can't believe that. No, that's just too much. And he went his way. In other words, he entered, the New Testament tells us, to enter into the rest of the Lord. We don't have to strive. You don't have to buy anybody's tapes or books. God will do it for you. You need to just get alone, get in your prayer closet, and seek the Lord. And God will take care of the problem, whatever it may be. I would like you now to go to Genesis chapter 3. The book of Genesis, chapter 3. I am going to get around to what we started to do this week, one way or the other. Genesis, chapter 3. And I believe I'm going to start, I'm going to start at verse 6. Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 6. And I pray you've all got your Bibles with you. I even get tired of saying it after a while. If you're going to watch the program, have your Bibles or a pencil and paper. At least you can write the scriptures down and look them up later. But don't believe me. Don't believe me. Don't believe anybody. Believe Jesus, for he and he alone is the truth. And read the word with me. Read the verse before and after. Read the whole context and then make sure it fits in there. And let's begin in verse 6. Genesis 3 and verse 6. And obviously, this is a story of Adam and Eve. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, the devil had tempted her, and it was pleasant to the eyes. And by the way, it doesn't say it was an apple tree. I don't believe it was. And a tree to be desired, to make one wise. The devil had told her this would make her wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and also gave some unto her husband with her, and he did eat. He was with her. Why didn't he take headship and stop her? That's another sermon for another day. He should have taken headship and stopped her, but he didn't. Anyway, verse 7, and the eyes of both of them were opened, and suddenly they knew that they were naked. Imagine what a shock that must have been. And they sewed fig leaves together. Is it just me, or does anybody else ever wonder where they got the needle and thread or whatever to sew these fig leaves together? I mean, I would be curious. Well, how did they sew these things together? Anyway, they sewed the fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons for front and for back. And then they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, which was a common thing. He did it every day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the Lord God, and they hid among the trees of the garden. You ever notice when you're in sin, or anybody for that matter, the first thing you want to do is hide? You do not want to be around a group of Christians, especially. In fact, you don't want to be around anybody. You want to hide. You want to get in a dark place. Any of you ever went into a bar that was all lit up? You know, bars are real dark, aren't they? And they're real dark for a reason. Because you want it to be dark. When you're in sin, you want to be hidden. And believe me, if you're in there, you're already in sin. And dark places are where you go to hide. So they go and they hide. And the Lord God called unto Adam. And he said unto them, Adam, where art thou? And Adam answered from behind the tree, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. You know, they were going to hide themselves. What did they do first? They hid from each other. They took the fig leaves and they sewed them together that they could hide from each other. Today we would call that self-made righteousness. You know how many people are sitting in a church today with self-made righteousness? They've made their own little garments. They do not have the white robe or the garment of salvation or the robe of righteousness, because that can be provided only by God. Look around. See how many you can see that have made their own fig leaves, their own robes, their own cover-ups. And how many have been clothed by God? Look at Isaiah 61 and 10. Because those things can be provided only by God, the robe of righteousness, the white robe of righteousness. Just as God provided the skins for Adam and Eve later on in the book, he will provide the robe of righteousness for you. You don't have to sew a bunch of fig leaves together, but I'm telling you, I see more people with the fig leaves than I ever do with the robe of righteousness. And I'm saying that figuratively. But the part I want to minister on, the part I want to share on, is verse 9. And I want to read it to you again. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, where art thou, Adam? Now, that's not geographically. God knew where Adam was. He knew exactly which tree Adam was hiding behind. He knew exactly where Eve was at. He was speaking to Adam that Adam might examine himself. Adam, where art thou? Let me give that to you in today's language. God is saying, George or Billy or Bob or whatever your name is. He's saying, stop and think about it. He's saying, Don, where are you? Where are you today? Where are you at? Where are you at in your relationship with me? Have you studied the word to show yourself approved, one who needeth not be ashamed, who can rightly divide the word? Have you been obedient unto my voice? Are you walking in holiness and repentance and righteousness? Are you ready for the very, very soon coming of my Son, Jesus Christ? Are you ready to return with him? Are you out on the evangelistic field where I called you and sent you to go? Or are you hiding at home behind your wife and kids? Because if you'd have went and done what I told you to, I would have supported your wife and kids. I would have taken care of that. I promised you that. And I wonder how many today, how many of you out there tonight or in the afternoon, whenever you're watching this program, how many of you have an ear to hear and have heard the voice of the Lord saying, where art thou, Bobby, Susan? Susan, where are you? Are you where I told you to be? Are you in the place that I called you to be? Or have you made up your own righteousness? Have you made up your own way? And you're out there hiding behind a tree someplace because you know that I'm not going to be happy with you. And listen to Adam's answer. Jesus said, who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, I love this. I love this, I really do. Here's a guy who really stands up and takes responsibility, takes headship, is willing to acknowledge and admit his sin. He says, the woman you gave me. Isn't that terrific? It's the woman's fault and it's God's fault. It's this woman who you gave me. That's where all the trouble started. How many of you do that today? God is speaking to you about a problem in your life, brother or sister. Don't even think about anybody else. Don't dare bring your husband, your wife, your children, or somebody else in there. God wants to talk to them, he'll talk to them, but now he's talking to you. Yes, Lord, I did it. And then tell them why you did it. And then tell them you're sorry you did it. And you repent of doing it. And you know the Word of God says that he'll put those sins so far away, as far as the east is from the west, there won't even be a carbon copy of that sin in heaven. If you will walk in repentance and repent before God of what you've done and mean it, be sincere. Repent is not feeling guilty because you got caught. Repent to change, to make a total turnaround, go the other way. Never again will I serve the devil, but I'll walk with God from now on. If you'll do that, there won't even be a carbon copy of that sin in heaven. And from that point on, if that sin ever comes to you again, it comes up in your mind, comes to you, you know it ain't coming from God because there's no carbon copy up there. He forgave and he forgot. So it's coming out of the pits of hell, rebuke it. Send it back to hell. I renounce that and I rebuke it. I got better things to do than think about that. That's over with. God forgave me. And go on with whatever God told you to do. Forget about the sin. But if you're on ear to hear, listen to God calling you, asking you where you're at. Now let's quickly go to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 10. The Gospel of Mark in chapter 10. I have a new Bible, and I'm having a little bit of trouble getting to where I want to go here today. So you just have to forgive me and go along with me. Okay, yeah. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and if you would go down to verse 46. I'll say it again. Mark, chapter 10, in verse 36. And here's a story of a blind man. And the Word of God says, beginning in verse 46, "And they came unto Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the side of the highway, begging." Here's this blind guy sitting on the side of the highway, and he's begging. And here comes Jesus with his total entourage, all of his disciples, and all of these hundreds of people that are coming along and following him. And when this guy heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, somebody obviously, you know, when he asked what the commotion was, told him it was Jesus of Nazareth was walking by. He began to cry out. Now the word cry out here, when you look it up, means he was screaming at the top of his lungs. In other words, Jesus was walking by. He's sitting over here on the side, had been very quiet with his little tin cup or whatever. And when he found out that it was Jesus walking by, he started screaming, "Jesus, have mercy on me!" Screaming. And you know what happened right away? Same thing that still happened today, happens all the time. Look at this. I just love it because it never stops. He's yelling out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And here they come. Here they come. Verse 48. All the deacons and the elders and the religious people come to him, and they charged him that he should hold his peace. Can't you just see it? "Oh, brother, be quiet. Jesus is here." This is a religious thing now. "Don't be disturbing the people or anything like that. Just shut up and be quiet and be reverent." And he listened to them. And when they were all done, he said, "Jesus, have mercy on me!" I've seen people get more excited over a stupid soccer game or football game than they do about the presence of the Lord. He didn't care. He wanted to be healed. And he was going to get a hold of Jesus, and no deacon and no elder were going to shut him up. And you know what? I love this part of it. Look at this. And Jesus stood still. Look it up. It means he stopped dead in his tracks. Jesus stopped. And he turned, and he started to look around. This is beautiful. Picture this. It isn't just a story. It happened. Jesus stopped dead. He started to look around. And this guy cried a great deal more. And Jesus stood still, and he commanded him to be called. And they brought him up. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "It's okay. Be of good comfort. He heard you. You've been screaming long enough. And he has called thee." And it says, the blind man, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. You bet he did, man. He took it, just flung it, and ran up there to where Jesus was. In verse 51, "And Jesus answered him and said, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" In other words, what do you want? What do you need? And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight. And he followed Jesus in the way. Listen to that last part. He followed Jesus in the way. I want to tell you today, if you can see, if you have eyes to see, if you have spiritual eyes, you also will follow Jesus. And there isn't a deacon, an elder, or a religious person in the world will shut you up. You will be excited about Jesus. You will know the fulfillment of having Jesus and the fire of Jesus living within you. You will know the excitement having Jesus within you. You know the excitement of seeing the power of God fall on that group in the crusade. And you will follow Jesus. You'll be right up front. You will follow Jesus, and he will use you. He will use you powerfully. Now, at your convenience, because I don't have time to read all through it tonight, but at your convenience, if you'd go to 1 Kings chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18, and begin there on chapter 1, and you're going to read a story about Elijah up on the mountain with all the false prophets and the fire of God coming down to burn up Elijah's offering. And the false prophets, they had been screaming all day long, and they couldn't get their God to do anything. And Elijah started to tease him. He said, I better yell louder. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he went out for a walk. Maybe he went down to a grocery store or something. Yell a little louder. But Elijah prayed. He only prayed once quietly. Said, Lord, if thou be God, send down fire and burn up this sacrifice. Well, down came the fire, and it burned up the sacrifice, and then it burned up the water, and then it burned up the rocks. It burned up everything that they would know that his God was God. There's no other. And he saw the fire of God and the power of God. And then he called his servant, because God had given him a word of knowledge. And he said, go look and see if you see a cloud in the air over there. And his servant went and looked seven times. First six times, he didn't see anything. Seven is the number of God for completion. And on the seventh time, the servant came back and he said, well, yeah, I see a cloud about the size of a man's fist. That's all the bigger it is. And Elijah said, that's it. And he got up by faith. He only had the big enough cloud. By faith, he got up to the king and he said, hey, you better hurry up, get on your horse and get down to the city because it's going to pour. And the king quickly put all of his food away and got on his chariot and horses and everything, and they went for town. And Elijah just picked up the bottom of his garment, tucked it into his waist, and he outran the king, the horses, and the caravan, and got to town, was waiting for him at the city gate, because the power of God was upon him. You want the power of God upon you? Believe by faith. You see that cloud up there, you know it's time. Believe by faith. Say, Jesus, I want to run with the Elijahs of today. And Jesus is going to do it for you. Try it. Pray and believe. God will send you forth. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And we ask you to tune in again next time to the Alarm Call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.